With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
My Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Hot! Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Real Talk Radio War Chant TV. This is the recorded hour, not the live hour that you just heard, because Florida State's playing baseball right now in the College World Series in Omaha, and I'm going to go watch it. I'm not going to be stuck here. I say stuck. I love my job, but I want to watch the game just as everybody else is. But Tom and I have figured long ago, being the radio strategists that we are, that you can counter-program sometimes and give something for everybody that doesn't care about baseball, for example. Now you can hear us talk about other things. Perhaps golf. Scared you. Football. We'll talk some football. We'll get into some other things too, I guess. It'll be a free-flowing 2 o'clock hour, as it's wont to be. Hopefully Florida State wins in what I think will be a slugfest today. At the time that Tom and I sat down to record this hour, we had no idea who was going to start. I texted Eric Llewellyn. Don't mind revealing that on the air. He said he had no idea who was going to start today. Unless it's been announced between the time that we record this and the time that this is running, airing at 2, I don't think Florida State has any idea. This is sort of a let's piece it all together, see if we can get an inning out of Joe Schmo and Larry Bo Bob and Willie Smith and all these guys that nobody's heard of today.
Don't forget about Joey Boom Bats. Joey Boom Bats.
I need Boom Bats to get 2 outs today from the left side. So, well, yeah, it's you got to do what you got to do. You throw a bunch of guys out there. I will tell you that I don't feel good about this situation. But I do feel good about the bats. So maybe, just maybe, maybe there's an opportunity for Florida State to win a 12-11 type game and stay alive. And if that happens, okay. All right, look out. I'll be officially nervous if they win today.
There you go. Okay, so you got a little bit more hope than yesterday. Because
I still don't see us climbing all the way out. It seems unlikely, but there would be the percentage chance that it happens will go up considerably if you find a way to win today. Obviously, A, you're still playing, but B, you had that other day's rest, and you can throw some of your meatier guys on short day's rest.
Let me throw another thing out there that give you just a little bit of hope. It's not a ton, but they're supposed to get dumped on beginning around 4 or 5 o'clock in Omaha for a few hours tonight. I mean, it's apparently going to be very heavy rains. I don't think playable conditions because they're saying potential thunderstorms. Just every little bit helps. Let's just say that happens. You get through this game. It's a game where you assume nothing. We could be up 5. We could be down 5. Don't leave. Don't change the channel. Our bats can rally for 6. Our bullpen can give up 6 at a moment's notice. So it's going to be an interesting game down to the final out, I would imagine. But if you get through it and there's bad weather overnight tonight in Omaha and they can't play that night game, that pushes you back an extra 6 hours or so. Tomorrow, you play in a little bit later of a game. They might try to squeeze things up a little bit, but it's supposed to rain tomorrow morning in Omaha. Every hour counts for recovery time for your pitchers. So get through today. This is the most volatile of games until the weekend, if you're lucky enough to make it there.
So if you win today, Tom, if you win today, you're scheduled to play what, 7 p.m. the next day on Wednesday?
No, it's afternoon again tomorrow. But that's where the weather can help push you into the evening hours. So, again, every minute helps for recovery time. Link Jarrett thinks that way. That's how he decided to make Carson Dorsey his first pitcher in the Super Regional versus the Regional, because he's counting the hours of recovery time for Jamie Arnold. It was not enough in that situation for him to flip the order between Arnold and Dorsey. So every minute counts, every hour counts. This is the volatile one, though. You got a lot of work to do between now and the weekend, but you've got solutions at least for several innings from some of your long guys tomorrow and Thursday if you're lucky enough to make it to those two places.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing just gets to be really fun if you find a way to win today. A, you're still playing. You're one of the few teams playing if you win today that remain. At that point, you scratch off teams and you're like, oh, they're one of the last 6. They're one of the last 5. They're one of the last 4. You know, I mean, honestly, everything is a huge step forward this year. And I would also just say that the reason I don't like tonight's matchup or today's matchup is that the strength of the North Carolina team beyond Honeycutt's ABs, which is something to behold, that guy's going to be a good pro, is the fact that they just have so many arms. They just have so many guys that they use. And I think that's what Link's building towards. I think he's going to build towards a pin like that. He's been not so subtle when having those conversations with us on this show, where he's talked about, oh, you got to have more arms. You got to have more arms. You see it. He talked about it last year. He talked about it this year in the middle of a great season. He was like, well, clearly you can see we play some teams that have an advantage out of that bullpen. We're going to have to find a way to get more arms. Like, he keeps saying it. He knows the deal. And then, you know, when you get out there and you see a team like Carolina, you're like, well, you know, it'd be nice if I had 7 guys I thought could throw strikes, but I don't.
Well, if you did, you'd be 2-0 and you would be in the catbird seat and you would probably be, well, I couldn't go that far. You'd be in the best of 3, and it would be very, very interesting about where you go. Now, some of those answers are in that bullpen today. Some of those answers may be on the mound this afternoon in Omaha. It's just they need development, and they need some maturity and confidence and time. But you see the ingredients that they're working with. And I wonder, you know, this is – since the game's going on, for next year's group, just very quickly, I would anticipate they're going to be better – ERA lower, pitching more consistent, but it will be very hard to duplicate this type of offensive production. Tibbs and Cam Smith in the middle of that order. And if Din just goes, he's eligible as well. That's an awful lot to replace in 1 year in terms of production. So I would assume that this group would be less explosive at the plate, but if they're more consistent on the mound, that's a trade-off that you're willing to make, and it could still get you where you want to go. It's just, I hope this is not the end for this offensive group. Get the balls juiced, and that helps a lot of things in terms of the entirety of college baseball. The numbers are up for home runs, power runs, and production. This is still a special group, and this is an offense that's capable of hoisting the trophy at the end. Hopefully they just do enough today to get us to tomorrow and the next day and so forth.
They'll be much better pitching next year, and they will not be nearly as good offensively next year. It would be almost impossible to be. But they could be good. They can be good offensively. They won't be this. This is silly. And, you know, one of the things when you look at Ferrer, you know, that guy's got a tight, compact swing. He's all muscle and speed. That's going to play at the next level. He doesn't have a position at the next level. I you know, he's going to have to be a DH somewhere, but lucky for him, both leagues employ it. So he will, if you can hit, you know, they always used to talk about that with the foreign-born players out of the Dominican and the various places like Puerto Rico and stuff. They say you hit your way off the island, you don't walk. So you find a way to just hit the ball. You'll go to the bigs. You'll make it to the majors. John Ford Griffin didn't have a position. Made it to the majors because of that bat. That's all that is. That's you will. It's hard to hit a baseball, and guys who do it well get opportunities to do it despite the deficiencies. Top 40 list has been updated and promoted and pushed on warchant.com, Tom. And I would bring it up here. Obviously, if you haven't been paying attention, our staff ranked the players. We are the original of the top 40 rankings, players rankings list of the groups that cover Florida State football. Old school. And if you missed 36 through 40, you can click on it and find it on the site. 31 through 35, you can do the same. 26 through 30, 21 through 25. And the latest installment is 16 through 20. I don't know. I'm probably catching you off guard a little bit with this, but I don't know if we want to post how the voting occurred. But I will tell you who those folks are. I can update you on that. Tight end Kyle Morlock, who I want to talk about for a second. I do have those numbers in front of me. Gene had him at 18, Ira 17, Corey 21. I had him at 27. Tom, you had him at 20. Aswan also had him at 27. And Matt Lacerra had him at 12. Let's talk about the role of tight end Kyle Morlock. I think it's an interesting one.
Okay, so the reason I put him, I know the reason I put him as high as 20 is because of the dearth of proven wide receiver targets. So I think his value goes up in that situation as a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. And speaking to Chris Thompson, you know, he says that the number one thing for Kyle in this offseason is to get stronger so he can block better. If he is an adequate to better than adequate blocker, I'd be surprised. When it's all shaking out at the end of this year, that doesn't mean that, you know, they can't develop and Chris Thompson hasn't done a good job of that position. I just doesn't seem to be in his nature. It seems like that's more of Jackson West's job. And then Landon Thomas would be the future H-back, but it's just, I put him high enough at 20 and I feel like that's borderline a little bit too high, but it's just because I don't know who the second pass catcher is going to be. And for DJ, he did use the tight end quite a bit at Clemson. I don't know as much at Oregon. Oregon State, I don't know that they had a target the way they did at Clemson. But it's just, if you've got Malik Benson on the outside and you've got a slot receiver who's quick and shifty, you're missing a larger target. And so for red zone purposes and for general purposes of who's going to be one of your top four targeted players that's not out of the backfield, not a running back, I think it's Kyle Morlock. So that's why I have him at 20.
Yeah, I think we are on the same plane. I had him at 27, so we're all pretty close there. I would have had him higher if I knew for certain that he was going to take a step forward as a blocker. But I don't know that. I'm with you on that front. It is in his best interest to become a much better blocker. And I say that thinking about his future, because as a pass catcher and as a target, he is, you know, a sky's the limit. You're talking about 6'7". He does have good hands. He's a plus route runner. If you can block, obviously the pros will salivate at that skill set. You need him to block here for the purposes of obviously having the versatility of not tipping the hand when he's in the game. There's a guy that if he blocks, changes things for you offensively. Teams are going to have a hard time kind of gearing up for what he is if he's not one-dimensional. So I feel like he'll work at it because he's put on size since he got here. How you perform in the weight room, how you approach the weight room is usually a good indicator to me of your mindset and what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're willing to do. So I think there's a strong indication that Kyle Morlock wants to be a better football player, that Kyle Morlock wants to improve his stock and play a more important role. And I judge that based on what he's done in the weight room since he's arrived. So I think there's a reason to kind of watch with a bit of eagerness when we get into the fall camp, Tom, because maybe this, you know, think about it now. That's a lot of time at the end of spring. Well, I say a lot, a significant amount of time at the end of spring to the start of fall camp to really attack the gym, really attack the diet, really attack putting on size, working on technique, studying film that make you better, that makes you better. And I think he'll be willing to do that. He's come a long way already.
Agreed. It's a ton of time relative to the gains that we saw from a lot of players from the end of the bowl to the, you know, the workouts, the tour of duty. Some guys' bodies changed drastically. You know, you're talking about 8 to 12 pound gains or losses either way. And that's basically no time. I mean,
Jackson transformed his body. Daryl Jackson.
Yeah. And Josh Farmer blew up. He got huge and in a good way. I'm not saying in an uncontrolled way. It's just, you know, that is a TV commercial. In 6 weeks, you can do this. That's what those guys have done. Now you give them 4 months. That's an awful long time because, again, there's a ramp up period to camp. I know it's going to start in late July, but by the time you're really doing things, it's going to be first, second week of August, right around there. So that's an awful long period of time to go hit the gym. And you're right. Typically, the attention to detail in the weight room does allow a bit of an insight into a mindset. It doesn't always translate, but sure. There's another player in this quintet, in this top 40, that did hit the weight room very hard last year. And you saw that there was a physicality and a snarl to his play later on. And that's something that's probably why he's going to be ranked, I think, at 16 in this group. That's
19 late. is 19 is Lolahea. 18 is Ja'Kai Douglas. 17, and we'll get to all these guys. 17 is Hakeem Williams, and 16 is Roydell Williams.
Okay, so it's Hakeem 17. Yeah, that's the guy I was talking about.
Yeah. So Hakeem is the next guy that stands out, and probably, you know, we'll gloss over everybody, but Hakeem is the next guy that really stands out, Tom, because Hakeem is, I think, potentially very, very special. I think he could be an NFL wide receiver for a long time. Got to do it. But very few are blessed with that size coupled with that speed. You know, it's interesting. He transformed his body. He has all the tools, but he's really got the one area where he's got to prove something to me is he's got to catch the ball more. And you know, I'm a stickler about these things. I was on Johnny about this. It really hurt his draft stock, by the way. Johnny falls that far solely because, funny thing, NFL teams like wide receivers to be able to catch the football with consistency. Hakeem had way too many drops in the spring, way too many. More than all of the other things that people complained about, such as he was covered too easily, people were physical with him. I think that's a byproduct of the defense knowing what's coming, coupled with a quarterback that's learning a new system. I don't concern myself with how frequently he was covered up or how frequently he, you know, had drops or things like that. In terms of the contested catches, I think he'll win those, especially when, you know, opposing defenses don't have a real good idea of what the effing play is going to be. But I do need him. It was the easy catches that he really kind of, I don't, maybe that was concentration. I don't remember thinking that he drops too many passes when he first got here, Tom. And that's something we really look at when we get new receivers is, all right, well, is he a natural catcher of the football? You know, there are guys that the first day you see him catching the football, you go, don't have to worry about him. The ball just, it's soft hands. It's like an infielder, right? You watch the soft hands and the good feet. They always find a way to put themselves in a position. We look for that stuff early on. He never stood out to me as being mechanical. He looked like a guy that could catch the ball. That's why I was kind of surprised in the spring where I thought, maybe he's got a lot on his mind. Maybe he's frustrated. Maybe he's dealing with something. I don't know. But he didn't catch the ball very well in the spring, and that's the area where I think he's got to get a lot better.
Yeah, it's the details of receiver that don't have him that help hold him back from being in the top 10, I think. Because if he was, you know, what his high school tape suggested in terms of a pass-catching target. And even in high school, he was kind of raw because of the size. He would just go wherever he wanted, do whatever he wanted. But I have him at 12. I have him the highest on staff, and it's because of his blocking. I just – look, man, if we ran last year's offense, I wouldn't have him as high. But this year's offense is going to be predicated on speed sweeps, and screens and quick hitters and flares, things that require a Johnny Wilson, like, you know, blocker on the edge. And Hakeem, far and away, is the guy who loves it the most on the team to block on the perimeter, and he's really good at it. And so, you know, again, I think he's going to catch plenty of passes. I don't know if he's going to be a realized, you know, wide receiver in that regard this season, but even if he isn't, let's say he catches 30 passes this year, and it's a nondescript yardage total, 260 and 4 or 5 scores. Okay. That's not a ton of production relative to how you recruited him to come into Florida State. But if he does that, and he also is a guy who springs Jalen Lucas every other week for a 40-yarder or a 50-yarder, or you have Jalen Brown on a speed sweep, and there's Hakeem. Man, every week we see him driving somebody into the bench, and that's a gain of 10 where it could have been a gain of 4. All of those things add up. So I think the geography of where this offense is going to be played in terms of depth, I think it's a lot around the line of scrimmage. And in terms of north-south, I think there's going to be north-south running with a lot of speed east-west. You need somebody like Hakeem. He is very important to get what you want to get in terms of explosive plays. So that's why I have him as high as I do.
When we come back, we'll take a look at Lola Hea, newcomer to the team who we're excited about. We'll talk a little bit about Ja'Kai Douglas, and we'll also touch on Williams, who's a nice running back for you in a camp that's going to have a ton of good running backs and a lot of guys that can play different roles. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Jeff Cameron Show. Alternate programming as the Noles play baseball right now. Another reminder, this particular hour is not live. The first one was, this one is not, but we carry on as we talk a little Florida State football. Had an interesting discussion a moment ago about the expectations of Hakeem Williams, as well as Kyle Morlock. I want to circle back on a couple of guys that we did not get to in that discussion. And again, this is War Chant's staff rankings for the 40 most impactful players, players ranked as we do every year, about the importance of their role in the upcoming season. And, we didn't see a ton of discrepancy here on this particular list, but I want to go back to Sione Lolohea, the defensive end. Corey had him at 11. I had him at 24. Tom, you had him at 13. This is interesting. Aslan had him at 14, Matt at 28. So there is some in this particular player discrepancy of what we think he's going to be. He is 260 pounds. I look at him, Tom, I don't know how you look at him, but I look at him as a potential edge setter that can slide in. Yeah. So his versatility will be important. I don't know how dynamic he's going to be. I think he's a nice, I think he's a nice position player for you, rotational player for you, I should say. I don't think he changes the game, but I don't think he's a minus player. I definitely have him as a plus player. I mean, all of us had him in the top 27.
Yeah, I have him as very important because he's going to make Patrick Payton and Marvin Jones Jr. better. I think those are your two starters. But I think this team is going to be defined by its defensive line, one way or the other. I think that's what's going to set the tone. We all seem to agree in different conversations we've had on different programs that the offense can be explosive. You say it's going to be more enjoyable to watch. I tend to agree, but it might be a little hot and cold. This defensive line, when your starters are out there, and I believe Marvin Jones Jr. is going to be a starter on the other side of Patrick Payton, and you got Farmer and Jackson in the middle. Like, that is fearsome. That's unbelievable. And that's the group that can help you close games. But when you have a player like Lolohea who can fortify the best segment group on the team, I believe defensive end is now the best segment group on the team, because Sione came to town, he was the more likely starter before spring. Coming out of spring, Marvin Jones Jr., I think, is the far more likely starter. They were rotating in 25 snaps a game for their backups at this position last year. You can give him 35 or 40 without breaking a sweat, and you can move him to either side of the line of scrimmage without breaking a sweat, which makes Patrick Payton and Marvin Jones Jr. more dangerous throughout the game. They go max. You allow max effort out of Patrick Payton for 55 snaps or Marvin Jones for 45 snaps. That is invaluable. Rather than the alternative of let's take them out of the equation and you're looking at Byron Turner or Aaron Hester or, I mean, because Hester had a good spring camp, the drop-off is huge. So this is, I place Sione very, very high because of his versatility. If you're hurt at that position for a game, he absolutely can start. He was a second team All Pac-12 last year. He's a veteran player who has a role. He's trying to get better at pass rushing, really good against the run. He's a valuable piece to this team. So that's why I placed him that high, because I think that defensive line is going to be the group that leads the way for Florida State this year.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about what kind of a veteran he is. He's a red shirt senior. He's played a ton of football. That helps you immensely. He will not be overwhelmed with his responsibilities. He will not be overwhelmed playing in big games. He's played in a lot of big games before. And when we look at that backup group, that unit that you're referencing, I think you brought up Byron Turner, who I like quite a bit. I like KJ Sampson quite a bit, by the way. I like Grady Kelly for his role. I don't think he's dynamic by any means, but you know, I think he's an anchor there as a rotational piece.
They're a Jaye, because he could play both. I should have mentioned him when I talked about the backup defensive ends. He could flex either way, but Dura Jaye is more, I think he's closer to the football than lining up outside.
Yeah, and he's an improving and up-and-coming sophomore, too. So he's a guy that's only going to get better as he gets reps. You know, Daniel Lyons is on that group of linemen as well. I actually kind of, when you talk about it and you say their names out loud and you think about what you've seen from them and what you discovered about them in spring, and then you go back and watch for those that have played in games, you've got film from West Virginia, you got film from Oregon State, you kind of had a chance to see some of these other guys, and then the guys that were already on our roster, obviously, we've seen quite a bit. So, yeah, I'm pretty encouraged by that group. There's just not going to be, you know, when we talk about defensive tackle, a little different than defensive end, but there's not going to be anybody that's Braden Fisk good of the backups. Right. Now the starters could obviously Farmer and Daryl Jackson could be incredible players this year and lead the way. But like that next group, do you have a guy that's like a Braden Fisk? No, you really don't. Do you have good players? Do you have plus players? You got guys that can really give you valuable reps? You absolutely do.
Yeah, I think in the interior, if you're hoping for a breakout player, it's not Kelly. Kelly is most certainly in your top four. But if you're looking for a breakout player, I think it would be Dura Jaye in a pass setting because he's a combo player. So he should have skills against a guard that stand out more than against a tackle at the size that he plays at. And then you're right. I hadn't really considered that Lolo Hea in the third and 10 could maybe flex inside and play inside because he's got the size to get off of a block from a guard, a pass protecting guard. That's a fascinating idea. But overall, their top line of the defensive line is really, really good. I think their second line at defensive end specifically gets pretty unproven / thin. I'm cold on Byron Turner. I don't know what to say. I mean, I could be totally wrong about that, but Lolo Hea's value is super high. I think he makes Marvin Jones better this year because Marvin Jones doesn't have to be out there for the rep count that Patrick Payton did in the second role last season. So if Marvin Jones is playing 47 snaps instead of 62, I think that means he's going to make a greater impact, and that's the value of Lolo Hea.
Ja'Kai Douglas, everybody knows what Ja'Kai Douglas is. I don't get caught up talking too much about Ja'Kai Douglas because I think he can be a very good player for what he is on this team. I know people think that I don't love him. I don't love the way we've used him in the past. I think he's going to be used properly this time. It'll be interesting to see what he does. You know, he's been here for a very long time. You know, look, he had that game against Pitt, and that was a desperation game because we had nobody healthy, and I'll always give him credit. That was a six-catch performance, over 100 yards. It was stunning. He's clutching that way. He's just so small that you don't want to be throwing the ball down the field to him, and I hate when we do that, and we did it way too often last year. Stop doing that. It's dumb. But the stuff inside, he's quick, and he is savvy, and he'll make plays for you. So I think that's all we really need to say about him. He's on everybody's list. I had him at 35. Tom, you had him at 17. Aslan had him at 18. Ira had him at 14. Gene had him at 15. Matt had him at 17. Suffice to say, I... I had him as a top 40 player, Tom.
Yeah, yes, you did. You had him as a top 35 player, in fact. Yeah, there you go. I think we had him in the teens because of need. They need him to be the slot guy. They don't have a proven slot guy. It's just self-explanatory at this point. Now, let's bring the wheel route back because that helps. That matches with DJ more than accuracy over the middle of the field. The one concern I would have is DJ's inconsistencies over the middle. Catch radius ain't large, so that's no good. So we'll see. But they need him to operate over the middle. Just don't have a lot of proven targets.
Yeah, that's where I was hoping that, you know, somebody like Jaylen Brown will emerge as the guy there. I think a little bit potentially more dynamic and a little bit better target. We'll see. We'll see. If not, it's Ja'Kai all day. You're not wrong about that. From there, we did not talk about Roydell Williams. Everybody looks at the running backs and they think about what we've lost in the form of Trey Benson. But I really think this is a group that will be very good. There's just so many options. This is a guy that Nick Saban loved a lot, has had a lot of carries at the highest level against elite competition. I think you have to trust him, and I think he'll be a very good player for you. But I also think there's a ton of good players at that position. So I think he'll be the back, I guess the lead back, if you will, but they got a lot of options.
Yeah, this is a group that I moved down the deck. Jalen Lucas is the highest of the running backs, quote-unquote, and that might make some people spit out their drinks because they think, well, Toa Fili is somebody that they're talking about a lot, or Roydell is who they brought in, or for me, I like Keziah because I think Keziah Holmes does everything in one player, which the versatility should get him more reps. But I'm going to value this like franchises do in the NFL. I'm going to say that the running backs are less valuable than the offensive linemen that are in front of them, they're less valuable than receivers on the edge or the defensive line. You know, I'm going to look at it like that because Florida State has so many of these players. They're not scarce at the position. It makes them less valuable in terms of the top 40 list. Doesn't mean that they're not very good football players. And Roydell Williams could have as the lead back. He might be the lead back, an excellent season. It's just for every situation you draw up, you've got two guys you like. In short yardage, Roydell is certainly going to be on the list of dudes that you want out there. But I think Keziah Holmes can be pretty tough, too, in a short area. If you're talking about top-end speed, Jalen Lucas is a guy. Lawrence Toa Fili is another one. Sam Singleton that you like for the top-end speed. Mekhi Dansey's not even on campus, and he's somebody like a short yardage. Cam Davis on third and one, not a bad option. So you go down the list and you say, who are the players I like in these given situations? And Florida State running back has got at least two for every situation you like, therefore less valuable. So that would be my explanation for having him a lot lower than most people on the list.
Yeah, I like Roydell a lot, but I agree with your assessment. It's really matchup by matchup. I think you'll see this play out sort of that way. He may get the most consistent amount of carries per game, but there'll be days where Cam Davis is rolling downhill with those thunder thighs. There'll be days that Sam Singleton is breaking out and doing what he does. Lawrence Toa Fili catching the ball out of the backfield. Jalen Lucas catching the ball out of the backfield. Keziah Holmes, your guy, and his versatility. There's a lot. Short yardage situations. We're talking about offensive backfield. Don't forget DJ Uiagalelei. So they just on and on and on they go. They got so many opportunities here to be pretty dynamic at the position.
Yeah, so it's like here's an easy test for a lot of the top 40. Does it apply for all of them? No, you got to use discretion. But if this player was unavailable for a week, how much would it hurt you? You know, and
it's a good way of phrasing it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why in some situations I'm like, man, it would be awfully difficult if Hakeem Williams is not available. Because I don't know in the quick game or the bubble game or the end arounds, who the hell is lead blocking? You know, I don't have an answer. If Roydell misses the Memphis game, I think we've got answers and guys that we can hand the ball off to.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Hey, by the way, check out socialkitchentlh.com. Socialkitchentlh.com. You'll go through their website. You'll see all the options. But if you just go to Social Kitchen itself off of Cary Forest Parkway, you'll walk in and you'll see a wonderful display case of awesome meats, including the famed Wagyu, best meats in town. The steak case is something to behold. I'm not going to lie. It's high premium. There's American Wagyu from Snake River. You've got the Angus beef prime. You've got filet kebabs. You got all the stuff. They also have chef prepared meals that you can check out. There's grab and go meals that you can check out if you're in a hurry. Those are all microwave safe and ready to eat. They've got the cheese and charcuterie boards that, you know, who the hell doesn't like that? Tom doesn't, but I do. Well, you like the other stuff on the charcuterie.
Yeah, man, the meats, I got no problem. And if they put those little crackers on there too, basically a salt or Captain's wafers or Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
You take a couple of meats, you little sandwich, sandwich.
A miniature sandwich. SocialKitchenTLH.com to check out what I'm talking about. Go by there off of Cary Forest. You'll thank me. Ask to speak to the chef and ask him ways, different ways to prepare all the meals. They do a very good job of educating you as well. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Got to the meat and potatoes of that 16 through 20. Good times talking about those players. I'm reminded each and every time we talk about this roster, the differences between where we were 2 years ago, certainly 3 years ago, and where we are now. It's fun to debate the levels of usage for certain talents, and I think that it's a testament to how quickly they've rebuilt the roster. I will say, and we'll have to get into this maybe next week some, I'm watching recruiting kind of carefully here, Tom, and I'm not flipping out or anything, but they need some yeses.
Okay, so I can speak to this because last night on the Smash, I had a long conversation with Michael Langston, and we talked about a host of things, but this is one of the topics. And he's saying, hang on, everybody pump your brakes, because he believes that by the time we come out of the summer into fall campish time, a lot of the kids are going to do the visits this weekend, and they want to make decisions in July. They want early July decisions, whatever, little fireworks logos. He thinks, I know the graphics. I'll make sure to have a fireworks graphic ready to go for July 4th. He thinks about 14 or so by the end of camp, and that's 10 more than you got now. And he's saying he's saying conservatively 8 more yeses, and, if you want to be aggressive, 10 to 12. So if you do have a class that's well over a dozen at that point when you're into camp, that puts you in position to be in that top 10 range. But unfortunately, it has dragged a little bit. This is me talking, not him now. It does feel like it's a little slow, but they're putting together a class that potentially could be quite good at offensive line, at defense.
Well, that's huge, yeah.
And at defensive end, which you need a lot of help for. So, and at linebacker as well. Like, these three places tend to have real problems in recent years, but it looks like we're bringing in good hauls for all three of those position groups, and you should get some yeses to that end in the next 6 weeks or so.
Well, I'm going to be looking very closely at the interior of the defensive line too. I need Odell to start getting some yeses here.
That is one where Michael says, okay, defensive end, he feels quite good, which we need help there too. Can't be going in the portal, getting a pass rusher every single year. Well, maybe we can, because we have, but we need more options to be from the high school ranks. But defensive tackle, he says, yeah, maybe they might have one or two as we get into the fall season, one or two that might be on the board. Whereas for end, it probably is between 3 and 4.
All right. Well, I I don't press the panic button for nothing. I just would like to hear a little bit more in the way of yes consistently. And maybe it happens that way. That is the final step to take for this staff to prove above all else that they have fully arrived and are complete. No perfect staff. Some staffs suck on game day. Some staffs stink in recruiting. Some staffs struggle in other aspects of managing a program. I feel like this staff, when we assess the staff, do so many things so very well. High school recruiting, they've never had a top 10 class. So, this is Florida State. After you win a bunch of football games, you ought to have top 10 classes on the regular. They have now amassed quite a few wins the last 2 years, we should start to see significant impacts in the world of high school recruiting. We already know we can portal. We already know we can make up for some deficits in this arena. But this ought to take the next big step forward, because you're talking about, again, aspiring to be the best program in America. And I always remind people of this lofty bar to which we hold this program to. We don't really hold any other program at Florida State to that level. You know, I think the softball program, we'd like to see continue and sustain excellence, but we know Oklahoma's the creme de la creme of softball. Soccer, maybe we hold to that end, and they've done a great job of trying to sustain that and kicking through the door there with a new coach. That's awesome. But really no other program. We don't do it with baseball. We think the baseball team should be a top 20 team every year. We think they should be competitive to win the ACC. We think they should make regular trips to Omaha. I think they're back to doing that. But we don't hold them to the standard that, say, LSU's at. And then when you go through and you start looking at basketball, we know we don't hold them to that standard. But football's one where you legitimately know that they anteed up years and years and years ago, and that is what they aspire to be, and that doesn't change. From Bowden to Jimbo, obviously didn't work out with Willie, but now obviously you have a guy that is one of the elite coaches in college football, so the standard returns. And there's no reason to think that you can't be the best program in America. But in order to do it, you've got to recruit like that. Georgia recruits like that. Let's just say it for what it is. They recruit that way. And they get a whole lot of yeses from five-star kids on the line of scrimmage. And I want to see more of that from Florida State and that step forward that we're talking about. Interior defensive line, offensive line. Let's start getting some yeses there from the five-star prospects.
Yeah, O-line, you potentially have a situation where you have, you know, two of the top interior guys in the country, which would help.
Huge.
Maybe a tackle or two as well. Florida State's having those conversations. I think you're seeing incremental to significant growth in many position groups. The one that jumped overnight was Sertan's group at defensive back. Like, that one went boom. They made the right hire, and you can see the difference that a person can make in that situation. But also, I wonder if we're having this conversation this time next year, I will be very, very concerned, because in the next calendar year, I would assume two things are going to have happened. Number one, we're going to know that we're out of the ACC, so they don't have to field those dumb questions anymore about, well, what about the competition you play at Florida State?
Tom, it is 100% being used against us currently. You are right to bring that up. Any of the insiders, including Michael Langston, that you talk to will tell you that whether it's fair or not, whether it's accurate or not, whether or not it seems applicable or not, it is used against Florida State, and some of these elite recruits are buying it.
Correct, and that's where, again, what does a kid believe? What does a kid buy into? It's like some years we see a program get lucky three times, you know, turnover luck, and they win 10 games, and you know that they're a 7-win team. Kids don't care. They see the 10 wins and they commit to the team that just won 10. You're like, they faked it till they made it. Damn it, man. The other way, the SEC competition. Michael will tell you, Matt Lacerre will tell you, kids believe that the week-to-week competition level at the SEC is going to put more eyeballs on them, whether or not they show out. Or like, you could show them what Jared Verse and Braden Fist just did. They say, well, I'd have scouts with eyeballs on me sooner because I'm playing at Auburn. Or because I'm playing at Ole Miss. And you want to rip your hair out and say, yeah, you're going to lose six games. Or Ole Miss, you're going to lose two. You have no business losing. They don't care. So if you can get out of that, you're wasting less time fending off the negative recruiting.
Yeah,
the second thing that would happen next year, this time next year, Mike Norvell wanted assurances for more infrastructure for football with his contract extension. I don't know that 2025 as a cycle is soon enough for that to kick in and the machine to get going. But the machine should be going and firing on all cylinders in June of 2025. And if we're sitting here with three or four commits in June of 2025, for those two reasons, I'd say, unfortunately, we need to make some changes, probably.
Well, I'm already in favor of that. I've said that before, but you know, I can be patient if we have to be. So we'll see. We're going to have to be. I think the third thing to add to your list of things that will have happened that ought to aid you in your endeavor to bring in elite players from the high school ranks is you will have had another 10-win season to add to the ledger. And I think that doing that probably impacts you the most in terms of being able to gain access to these kids, getting them on campus and having them believe. If you are a now perennial top five team, top six team, yeah, man, I think it goes a long way in helping you overcome some of your deficiencies in recruiting the high school ranks just by being good, just by being so high profile. If Florida State wins the ACC for the second consecutive year and makes it to the playoff and beats Clemson in back-to-back years, and then once again vanquishes Florida, and then we'll see what happens with the Miami game. I think it's a great game. There's going to be a lot of eyes on sets there. But, you know, you have an opportunity to be – you're playing a lot of high-profile games this year. First of all, you have the game against Georgia Tech. People starve for the return of college football. They're drooling for the return of college football when that game starts. The whole nation is going to watch Florida State, Georgia Tech in Ireland. So you've got a high-profile game there by definition because you're the first out the box. You've got a huge game against Clemson that everybody watches. You've got the rivalry game with Miami, but you also have the road game against Notre Dame. You have a very intriguing game against a 10-win seat team from a year ago in SMU on the road that I think some people will tune into. Maybe not a mega game, but a lot of people will watch that game. But obviously, Florida, Miami, Clemson, Georgia Tech, road Notre Dame, you got a lot of chances to change perceptions or further bolster the positive feelings towards Florida State if you perform well in those games.
Yeah, just it's a matter of winning your fair share of those. If you, you know, make your way to the playoff and you know, then your brand is on screen again for the playoff. They are spending too much time having to deal with dumb negative recruiting tactics. Yeah, but so does every staff. It's just that this one seems like it's a little bit more of a fundamental need. The other thing I would say from an infrastructure standpoint is let's say that we do have a target date of 2026 for the new conference that we're in. I'm just going to just put that out there. And at that point, when you go to the same five boosters that you've been asking all this money from over the years, you say, look, light at the end of the tunnel, brother, light at the end of the tunnel. Get me home. Just take me home. We've got a lot of beautiful suites that we're building here on the alumni side. You can have it for 10 years, but I need your 20. Sorry, endowment. We'll give it to your kid. Yeah. Just help me get to this finish line for the money to start pouring in. And at that point, we can tell you that, okay, we only need a couple million, not 5 million.
Well, I obviously we are kind of rocking and rolling now down into the 60s by the end of this week. And we start next week. We're in the 50 something days to the start of college football. And you say that out loud, you get a little nervous. Like it makes me real. I can only imagine being a coach because now I realize like, oh, I got to pull the trigger on my Ireland ticket. I've got to get my ducks in a row for pregames with Tom. I got to make sure we're all set up with our sponsors for the Jeff Cameron Show and all the things that we're doing for when the start of football season begins. So hell yeah, I get nervous.
It's not enough time. There's just not enough time. De Niro in Heat. That's what I fear.
Yeah, what's that dream about? I know what that one's about. Not enough time. Not enough time. I think that's it for us, right? That's it. That's all. Hopefully, Florida State baseball is winning. We're back normal tomorrow with a live Jeff Cameron show all the way
unless
through.
Unless they win.
What'd you say?
Unless we win.
Yeah, unless we win, then we'll do another one of these. Either way, you'll have fresh content. How about that? For Tom, I'm Jeff. Be good, everybody. Go Noles. Peace.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap!
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today and get free welcome coins you can spin for a chance at cash prizes. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.